Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 69 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I get a chance to share with you my chat with Wes Griffiths from Bovine and Swine in New South Wales, Australia, a Central Texas-style barbecue place in New South Wales, Australia, which is awesome. And the story is great. Like many stories in the barbecue world, he did not come from barbecue. He loved barbecue. He was passionate about barbecue, but he was not, as a profession, doing barbecue. Went to Texas, got the bug, came back. Place sounds amazing. The photos, I'll put links to everything below. The photos of everything looks fantastic. And it's definitely, if you're traveling to Sydney, go over there, check it out. You're going to love it. Introduce yourself to Wes. If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you can get all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But enjoy this. So it's a good afternoon for you?
It is a good afternoon for me, yes.
And it's good evening for you.
Good evening to you.
Oh, yeah. Doing great. I'm excited to talk to you. I'm glad we got a chance to connect. I wanted to know about Bovine and Swine, but I wanted to know more. Like, I want to know about your history. I want to know your background. Did you grow up in Sydney?
A little bit south of Sydney, probably about an hour and a half south of Sydney. Grew up just in a town that was just pretty boring. Nothing special. Started an apprenticeship as a mechanic and worked as a mechanic for many years.
Were you barbecuing at that time or grilling at that time?
I was using the Weber and doing like lamb legs and chickens and stuff like that. But yeah, not really full-on American barbecue, that's for sure.
What sparked it? Did you a trip to Texas? Was that?
Yeah. We actually, me and my girlfriend, we went to a rockabilly festival over in Vegas. And after that, we went to a hot rod show because I'm a mechanic. I went to the greatest hot rod show on earth, which is the Lone Star Roundup.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And which is on next weekend, and I'm really wanting to go. But yeah, we went to that, and a lot of the Aussies that go to the Lone Star Roundup, they go out to the Salt Lick, and we were going to do that. And a friend of ours said this to a friend of hers, and he said, "Nah, we're not going there. I'll take you out to Lockhart."
Okay.
So we went out to Lockhart and went out to Smitty's. And yeah, I just got blown away.
It is transformational.
Absolutely. You walk in there, it's just smoke and black, and the fire's right next to you.
Yeah, those pits on the ground, and yeah,
it's just crazy. You know, like you think, wow,
it's almost hard to believe that it exists. Really.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you can't, like, you have to grandfather that in. I don't think you could do that ever anywhere else again.
No.
That's yeah. So did you end up going to all the places in Lockhart that time?
No, we only went to Smitty's, and I just went, wow, this is great. And yeah, went back, and we obviously went out and got on the Terps, and yeah, had a couple of drinks and a dance and that, and had fun. And yeah, I got back home. We come back home and everything, and Father's Day was coming up, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to buy myself an offset for Father's Day. So I did, just bought a cheap offset, and yeah, started cooking like that.
And what was the barbecue scene at that time? What year was that? Do you remember kind of what year?
I was 13, I think. 12 okay. or 13.
Okay.
Not quite sure. I think it was 13. But yeah, was really small for American barbecue, to mm-hmm. be honest. It wasn't really taken off yet. So yeah, did that. And the following year, there was the first big competition barbecue in Port Macquarie in New South Wales. And I went up there and took two offsets up there, and I'd never done anything like competition barbecue. I'd never even looked into it, you know. Like I'd had good eating barbecue, and that's what I wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
Competition barbecue is just a way different scene, and you've got to inject that stuff, and it's just crap.
And I hate to talk down about something that people are so passionate about. People are really passionate about. But I do understand, like, for me, it doesn't – my head can't get around it. I can't.
You want to sit down and you want to eat a whole plate of barbecue, not just a bite.
For
you know
sure.
What I mean?
And chicken that's in a certain shape or
– Yeah.
It's awesome.
That's just awful.
Yeah, it's there, but it is their thing, and people get really.
Yeah.
So did you even know what you were getting into? Did you have any?
No, not at all. I mean, like, I could cook a brisket, and I could do this, and I could do that, and I got a book for my birthday, that year too,
Which book?
Big Bob Gibson's barbecue book. And that really, like, opened my eyes and, like, showed me an Alabama white sauce with chicken and stuff. And, yeah, just some really nice sauces and stuff. And, yeah, it sort of just opened my eyes and went, wow, this is really cool.
Yeah, so, and it's not just because you had your taste of Texas barbecue, but getting the Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, all that whole, the whole South.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, I mean, I try and do that in the shop now. Like, our pork's mainly Carolina-based, you know. Like, pork ribs are sort of a little bit Kansas, but, brisket's always Texas and always will be. Pork's a Carolina. So.
Oh, that's where I went to Lexington Barbecue when I on a business trip, and I fell in love with that. Was kind of the epiphany for barbecue in general. I didn't, and then I had Texas barbecue, and then went, wait a second, that's even to another level. But yeah, that's really cool. That's so. Have you gone to, like, I'm gonna jump around a little bit. Have you gone to the Carolinas at all? Have you had a chance?
I've never been to the Carolinas yet. Oh. I so want to go.
You need to go.
I just haven't been there.
Okay,
I just haven't had a chance. Really want to get there. I mean, one of the favorite things I love doing is whole hog. I love doing it, even just with cinder blocks, you know, like a cinder block pit.
That's classic.
We go around a lot of shows in Australia, and we do a few demos like that. And, yeah, it's just fantastic. I just love doing it.
What was it like that very first time doing a whole hog?
The first time I did a whole hog, I'd been down to a mate's place in Melbourne, Fancy Hank's. And they were doing whole hog, and I looked at their pit and I thought, oh, yeah, that's all right. That's pretty easy and simple. And I'm a mechanic. I can weld and I can do shit like that. And so I made this pit. I literally picked up the steel, cut the measure on the Friday afternoon at about 2 o'clock, and we ate hog the next day at about, 5 o'clock. So oh. I was welding stuff up while I was burning it out, if you like. So,
like fine-tuning it as you were.
Yeah. So,
that's cool.
It was a bit rough and ready, but it worked, you know, and I was pretty happy with it. I've now got another hog pit that's a lot easier to use, and it's really good. But
what a great background, too, to have for barbecue, because then you make your own offsets, right?
Yeah. I make my own offsets, and at the moment we've got a Southern Pride in the shop. It's just made it a lot easier and a lot more room.
It makes sense.
It just works. I've got my own offsets that I made, and they're a bit rough around the edges, but you know what, it's only a barbecue.
And you could tweak it, because you do know how to do that. You could tweak it for airflow, you could tweak it for the firebox and all that. That's cool.
I mean, it's like it's only a tool, you know. You've got to know how to use the tool. Every tool's different.
For sure. So
that's all a barbecue is. I mean, we're not even using any gas or anything with it. Like, when I bought it secondhand, and I said to the guy, can you just use wood? And he said, no, you can't just use wood. Well, I've never put gas in it ever. I only ever use a fire, and that's it. So
that's great. That's killer. Yeah. That's awesome. So then from doing the competition, how did you do in that first competition? And was it were you by yourself or with buddies?
Yeah, I was by myself, but I was horrible. I had no idea about presentation or anything like that. And but the thing is, a friend of mine, I don't know if you know her, Jess Pryles.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, she's the one that recommended I talk to you.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Jess was there that first year, and like she was sort of one of the head judges. For the sanctioning body that's now become the ABA, the Australasian Barbecue Alliance. And, she was the head judge, and she sort of introduced how things should be. And there was another guy there that knew what real barbecue was. And, I handed out my brisket, and that was cool, and, it did no good. But the thing was, Jess come around and she said, no, that's good brisket. That's really good brisket. So that gave me a lot of confidence, and I thought, yeah.
That means a lot. That does mean a lot.
That means more to me than winning a trophy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, it was good brisket for everyone for as opposed to for a competition.
Yeah, exactly. It was good eating brisket, you know. Yeah. So,
which is what we want, right?
That's right. And the next year, so she used to do a thing called the Carnivore's Ball.
Mm-hmm.
So she did it a couple of times in Melbourne, a couple of times in Austin.
Oh, I didn't know she. I didn't know she did it in Melbourne. I knew she did it in Austin. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, she did it in Melbourne, and she only ever did one in Sydney, and I catered that the next year.
Oh, that's cool.
Just on the offset that I built, and Yeah, it was good. It was
That's
great.
nice. Okay, there's that's the tie. That's what runs. Okay, yeah,
Yeah.
you're not just the guy who has barbecue on your knuckles that she knew
Nah.
of. But which is awesome, which I want to get to eventually. Is that wasn't during, you didn't get that during your first trip. But how many times have you been to Texas?
No, that was another trip. So not long after the Carnival's ball, guy that's got a great butcher shop in Sydney, Vic's Meats. He started a place down in Pyrmont where the fish market is, which was a little bit out of the like sort of it's a fish market. Why would you have butchers? But anyhow, brave move, and he
Hey,
done
yeah, it's a cool move.
it. So he got a big yoder in, and he said, "Look, I haven't got anyone to run it. Do you want to run it?" And I had a really good job at the time, a government job, as an investigator. So it was not a hard job. I enjoyed it most of the time. But again, anything with authority, it's just, it wears you down a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
He said, "Well, look, how about you go over to the States and just refine your stuff a little bit?" So I went over there and hooked up with Evan Leroy
Oh wow.
at Leroy and Lewis.
Yeah. Great guy.
Well, he was actually at Freedman's at
At
the time.
Freedman's, yeah, I imagine, yeah.
Yeah, and him and Chris McGee was there. So, did a few shifts with them guys, and did a few shifts with the guys at Terry Black's
Oh.
in Austin as well. So, yeah, did that.
Michael.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Went there, and I was staying there, and I mean, every night I was going out to the Continental Club, and just enjoying my life, and
Of course.
sitting in the Continental Club, and one afternoon, and went. Bit boring here. Went to the tattoo shop next door, and I said, "I want to get barbecue tattooed across my knuckles." And the girl there, she's gone off. Oh, there's a guy like she's yelled out to the back and gone. Oh, there's a guy here that wants to get barbecue tattooed on his knuckles. And the guy at the back, he's just gone. Why don't you just get beer, man? Because they want a like BBQ, and I said, "No, the word barbecue." So.
And with a C, right? Not with a Q.
Yeah, with a CUE, yes, exactly.
Could I
Yeah.
like I it's maybe cheesy to ask you to do it, but could I see them? Could I see your knuckles? Yeah, that's killer. That's so cool. Wow. So what did other people when you came back to Australia think when you had that? Or were they like, yeah, that's Wes.
They thought I was a bit of a freak, but that's all right. I do crazy stuff sometimes, so yeah.
So how long were you in Texas then that time? Like just a couple weeks
I
or
was only about 3 weeks.
3 weeks, okay.
So yeah, it was good. It mainly reinforced a lot of stuff, and it was good to get a bit of stuff from Evan as far as holding, how long you can hold stuff, and the rest periods and stuff like that. Because I think a lot of people don't rest things anywhere near as long as they should.
That's true.
But yeah, it definitely opened my eyes with that.
Wow, that's cool. That's really interesting. And because he comes from like a fine dining background too, it's so he has a lot of probably information to instill with you. Like
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
and then with Mike, you probably got the bulk because they
Yes.
put out a lot of product.
Absolutely. Massive. Rotating briskets and stuff like that in those pits and keeping them fires going, it's amazing.
Yeah, that's crazy. I think that with 1,000 gallon pits, right? Isn't that what they?
Yeah, yeah,
Yeah,
yeah. I
crazy.
think it's, well, when I was there was three, so
I think there might be more, I think.
I
I
think
don't,
there's more now, but yeah.
oh, that's massive. That's
I meant to go
crazy.
the last time I was there, but I never got there, but anyhow.
So when you were there, were you thinking I'm gonna be working like you'll be doing that out of the meat market, but were you thinking I'm gonna open my own place someday with your with him or?
No, I was just sort of thinking, well, let's see how we go with this and see where it takes us. And yeah, I was there for a while, and it was good. I really enjoyed my time there. The way their business is structured, it wasn't really conducive to barbecue, if you like.
Okay.
And it was really hard to sort of work that in. And in the end, it was, agreed. We both sort of went, well, you know what? It's not you, it's you. And yeah.
It's not you, it's you. I like that. I don't think I've ever heard
Yeah.
that. It's like what you want to say.
And like I've got no issues with Vix or Anthony. Anthony was a great guy, and I still love him now. So amazing man.
That's awesome. Now, when did you open your place?
We opened 3 years ago now.
Was it 3 years? That's, wow.
Yeah, coming up to 3 years now. So yeah.
And how did you scout out that location?
A friend of mine that was working with me at Vic's for a while, and he actually stayed on for a while at Vic's. We were always there going, geez, we should do this, we should do this, we should do this. And we sort of went, well, we haven't really got the money and the funds. And another guy come along and he said, oh, look, I wouldn't mind chipping in here and we'll go on with that. And, yeah, in the end, we found this place. It was a Peruvian barbecue joint that was operating, and they just left. They just up and left. And, I mean, it was horrible. The place was terrible. It was had carpet on the floor and the kitchen was... Yeah, it was just disgusting.
Carpet on the floor?
Yeah, it was just bizarre.
Doesn't make sense.
We had to gut the whole place out and, yeah, sort of do what we could do with it. We had a very minimal budget. Again, it was a pit that I built. And, yeah, I had some holding cabinets and stuff like that. And we just, yeah, bit by bit, we opened it up. And, yeah, it was good. We hit the ground running. And,
what was the reaction? Were there other places in Sydney that were American style barbecue?
There was a couple, but not many. Mm-hmm. But we really, because we were both known in the restaurant scene as those dudes that do barbecue, mm-hmm. because we were doing it down at Vic's, and because I've done the Carnivore's Ball and all that sort of stuff as well, we did get a fair amount of media attention, which was good.
Okay,
and yeah, it's funny how it happened. And I mean, the first few weeks, and I mean, we had lines that were like, I don't know, 100 metres long.
Wow. It was
incredible. So, yeah, like just stuff that, like Aussies don't line up for food at all. They just, if they've got to wait, they'll just go, oh, I'm going to go somewhere else.
And I think there's probably a good percentage of Americans that feel that way too. And then, but then also too, once people have waited in line for something that's really good or they really love, they realize, okay, it was worth it.
Yeah, exactly. So now we don't have the 100-meter lines, but we've got a steady influx, you know, like it all works, and it's actually pretty good now. We sort of know how much we need to cook, and, yeah, it's good in that respect.
And what meats were you serving at the beginning? Are they the same meats you're serving now?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we did have lamb on the menu for a while.
Yeah, I had seen that,
That because lamb's really good, but it's expensive for what you get. So... It's nearly, as someone's got a restaurant, it's not really worth the money to do.
True.
We might do lamb ribs and stuff like that because it's not too bad. But, yeah, to do pulled lamb takes up a lot of space in the pit. And where I can put, like, four serves of lamb, I can put a brisket.
And it makes sense, yeah. You gotta do what makes sense, yeah.
So, yeah, we were doing brisket, pork ribs, a chopped pork. I really wanted to do a chopped pork, not a pulled pork. We don't take it as far, and give it a nice ketchup vinegar sauce, and as we chop it, and that's one of my favorite meats that we do.
Oh yeah, that sounds great. That's wonderful. Yeah,
really. So doing that chicken, we do a chicken breast similar to like how most places do a turkey breast.
Okay, I was thinking that.
Turkey's really, it's not that common in Australia, so it's really expensive. I love doing it when I can get it, but it's not easy to get. So I can do chicken breasts and they come up really good. We brine them and put on them and, essentially treat them the same as what you treat a turkey breast. And, they come up really good. So it's one of the most popular.
That sounds unique. And a lot of people, not many people are doing that here at all.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really,
they're doing like hat, like spatchcock, or they're doing full chicken. Yeah.
Wow. We're probably going to start doing yard birds too soon, I think, but, yeah, I don't know. We'll see how we go.
And you're doing sausage, right? Are you making your own sausage?
Yeah, we do our own sausage there too, yeah. That's one thing that I got from Evan was making sausage. And he's right. I mean, if you're a barbecue joint and you're not making your own sausage, you're a dinosaur, because to trim a brisket, you need to get it the right shape so it cooks right. And you're going to take a lot of stuff off. Like you might start off with an 8-kilo brisket and you end up cooking a 6-kilo brisket. So there's a lot of trim there that you're doing nothing with.
It's a waste. And
you've already paid for it. It's a waste. Huh. So yeah, we make sausage, and took a few goes to get the right recipe, and I really love doing the sausage, and it's
What type do you do? Do you do one type, or do you do a couple?
Yeah, we do a couple types every now and then. At the moment, we just use brisket, a bit of pork trim as well, and jalapeno and cheese. In a natural case, and it's just a simple one. Just salt, and there's nothing more in it.
Do Do you sell, so do you sell all your meats by the pound or most of those, the brisket? Well, Okay, by the pound. What an American question.
Yeah. So we sell it by the 100 grams.
I saw that on a picture, 100 grams would be, what's the equivalent here? A pound? Is that,
it's about half a pound maybe.
I'll put a chart in the comments so people can figure it out. Cause...
Not a good idea. We do that. We also do a chicken sausage, which is really good, and I'm working on it. I just had a cook start with me earlier this year, Steve Austin. He was actually working for Carey Bringle at Peg Leg Porter.
Yeah. I just talked to him like two weeks ago.
Yeah, he's a great guy, man.
Oh, such a cool guy.
He's come out to Australia and done a few things in that as well, and yeah, it was...
Oh yeah, yeah. He was just there. Yeah, a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
I talked to him right when he got back.
Yeah. So, because he's come from Nashville and like the Nashville hot chicken scene and everything like that, we want to do a Nashville hot chicken sausage.
Oh wow. Okay.
So, I really want to get into that.
Oh, that sounds so cool. Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, I reckon it'll be cool. But I like stuffing around with sausage. It's great.
Yeah. That's. Do you have enough space to store? Like, do you have a cooler?
We've got a fair few fridges, which is good. Mm-hmm. It's a bit hard to hang them sometimes, but yeah, we get by.
Yeah. No, I guess you have to figure that out, right? That's
exactly.
And you guys do you have only a few, like four sides?
Yeah, we just do beans, which are just like a pinot bean and a black bean, and we make up a sauce with that with chipotle and tomatoes, and we throw a bit of brisket in it once it's done. Gives Perfect. a bit of bite, which is good. So we've got that, mac and cheese, which is just mac and cheese. It's nothing special really. Yeah. We do our own pickles and, nice. Yeah, we're really happy with our pickles. They work really well. So, and, occasionally we do potato salads, but yeah, most of the time it's only the three.
Oh yeah. That's cool. That works. And are you guys open? Are you open 6 days a week?
No, we're only actually open four days a week.
Oh, 4 days a week. Okay.
Yeah. So Thursday night, I mean, that's weird because we do nights in Australia with barbecue, but that's the way it is. But yeah, we do Thursday night from 6 p.m., Friday night from 6 p.m., and then Saturday all day, so from midday till
excellent.
We sell out. So
excellent. Okay, so what is barbecue now? What is it for you? Because you're actually you travel around too, right? It's not just
I get around a little bit, yeah. So. We have a festival out here called Meatstock. There's been one in Melbourne, one in Auckland in New Zealand, and there's one in Sydney in a few weeks.
It's
a fairly big festival. It's a good thing, and it's a big competition for the ABA. There'll be about 50 teams there, I suppose. But I generally do a lot of demos and stuff there.
That's cool.
I do that. And, I'm supposed to be going to Austin on Tuesday, but I don't know whether I'm going yet. So
this Tuesday?
Yeah, this coming Tuesday, but I'm not sure yet. I'm trying to wangle it, but I just got to figure it out.
When you said that, you kind of look off to the side. Is that
just seeing if someone's listening? That's
so you said Meatstock, right?
Yeah.
How long has Meatstock been around? Is that
this is the third year of Meatstock. So I started in Sydney, then a friend of mine, Jay, he took it to Auckland and Melbourne as well as Sydney.
Okay.
And last year, and this year we've done Auckland, we've done Melbourne, and we're going to do Sydney, in May.
Wow. So, and it's, what's the reception? Is it pretty, are people pretty excited about it?
Yeah, there'll be about 8,000 people there, I reckon, on the Saturday, I think, at least. It's pretty good. It sells out, and in American standards, probably not a lot of people, but for
Australians. No, that's a decent amount. That's a good amount.
And there's a lot of food vendors there, and the teams and stuff, and they have a few good bands and stuff like that, which is cool.
Are people like they are in America? Because it seems like the barbecue community is a pretty tight community, and they share, and they're really like they help each other. So is that how it is in Australia? Is it?
Oh, similar? Absolutely. A friend of mine actually had he was on his way to Meatstock in Melbourne a few weeks ago, and he actually broke down in his truck, and he ended up getting.
Leroy.
Yeah, he ended up getting the Meatstock all right, but he ended up borrowing pits and he competed. Oh. And he did all right. Like, he was
How cool is that? That's
yeah, like, and everyone just helped him out, you know, like, oh, you've got this, you got this, you need this, we'll help you out. So, yeah, it's really good in that respect.
Do other restaurants in Sydney now, like, have you sparked kind of more interest?
There's been a few open up on that, and there's a hell of a lot of caterers.
Okay.
A lot of people think you can make a lot of money out of doing barbecue, which you can't.
No.
But it's hard work and it's time consuming and for not much reward really. So, yeah. But there's a lot of people that have opened up as caterers. Yeah. So we probably miss out on a lot of parties and weddings and stuff like that. And the other thing is we don't really have the time. Yeah. So we've sort of got as much as we can do. We pick and choose a bit of stuff. So
yeah. And you should, and let them kind of, if someone wants a certain type of barbecue, let them, you know, go to them.
Yeah. See, like, what's, yeah. I mean, everyone knows what we do and we're pretty well known. So, and I do a few car shows and bike shows and stuff like that. And, that's what I'm into. And yeah, we go to those sorts of things and I try to stay away from music festivals most of the time because yeah, there's too many kids on fizzy disco biscuits and not wanting
So, yeah, know. That's not going to really work out.
Yeah, good to me at all.
No, it's not. So where do you see? How do you see you? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Do you see that? Like, do you open maybe another restaurant? Like, do you want to have like offshoots of your restaurant? Or
I'd really like to,
or have a bigger.
Have another. I'd love a bigger venue, but I mean, at the moment, our venue is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's pretty small. I would like one a place that's probably a little bit fancier, just because I think it'd be a bit more you could be a bit more creative with how things are done. Mm-hmm. I've got a really good team with me now and some really good chefs so that enjoy it as well. So Steve's worked in some really great restaurants and he's worn a white jacket the whole time. Wow. And now he's come to me and he's just said, "Man, I don't want to wear a white jacket anymore."
Nice.
I said, "Beautiful. Come to work with a t-shirt and shorts, man. It's all good."
Yeah, as long as you're putting out good product, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think we could probably broaden our horizons with that a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of, finding the venue and where we do it and stuff like that.
Do you serve beer at your location?
We don't. We used to, but there was a problem with the liquor license. It was a long story, but okay, we were transferring it and it, got all screwed up.
Sounds like Los Angeles.
Yeah, we ended up not doing it. But you know what? It's probably a blessing in disguise because you sell beer, people want to stay there and drink and stuff like that. And I actually haven't got many seats, so I actually need you to come in, order with the cutter, get your sides, pay the cashier, sit down and eat, and out you go. So I can keep involved on the tables, you know what I mean? So,
you don't want people like, you don't want to have people have the Wi-Fi and hang out for 3 hours and work on their laptop.
You know, like it's only a small place. Could, but I can't. So.
And last, is your place set up like with a traditional, like traditional Central Texas style with a cutter that you order the, like, you know,
it confuses everyone in Australia because everyone, they generally, go straight to the cashier to order.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, you've actually got to have come to the cutter. So you actually, it guides people in to where the cutter is and there's a sign there that says order here. Still go to the cashier, but that's all right. You sort of got to say, "Hey, come back here. What do you want?"
Yeah. So you're sort of teaching the customer how to.
We're trying to do that. And I think we are probably the only place that does that in Australia. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure we're the only one that, if you want to get 400 grams of brisket, you can get 400 grams of brisket.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get, like, a lot of places sell a plate that'll have brisket and pork and stuff like that.
Exactly, yeah.
We actually say, well, if you want it, you order it by the pound.
Yeah.
So,
and don't you think that's more fun too? Like, even though,
and it's the right way to do it.
Oh yeah, yeah. And it's like,
for me, that's the way it should be.
I agree too. I agree completely. And I come from Los Angeles where that's not a tradition at all. It's exciting. And I think that there are people that get a little nervous just because they feel like they're on deck, but it's cool. Yeah.
We've had to do a plate that's, but we still say, so it's got 400 grams of meat or it's got 600 grams of meat.
Yeah.
But yeah, essentially they need to, they don't know what they want. So you've got to tell them.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. I'm proud of you, and I think that's really cool.
Thanks,
what you've done. It's and And it's exciting. Is there anything else that people might not, and from America or wherever else are watching this, that they might not know about you that you want them to know or that you would like?
Oh, jeez. I want to go over to the States more. Mm-hmm. I need to go over to the States more. I need to spend some more time in Nashville. And I want to do the Carolinas.
For sure.
Yeah. I really want to do that. I've had a bit of Rodney Scott stuff. Rodney Scott's come out and had a bit of stuff, so that's cool. But I really want to get over there again and spend a bit of time. So
yeah,
hopefully later on in the year I'll get to do that, but we'll see how we go.
Well, excellent. Well, if I'm ever in one of those cities that you're going to, I would love to have some food with you and chat. And
sit down. That'd be unreal.
Yeah, and chat and chat and then not virtually.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, excellent. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Thanks for doing you're doing.
And thank you.
Excellent. And we'll talk soon. Hopefully we'll see each other in the United States sometime soon.
No worries.
All right. Take care. Thanks, Wes.
Thanks, man.
Have a good week. Cheers. Have a good week.